Good morning and happy Sabbath. Welcome to Central Study Hour. Once again, we are so privileged by the God Almighty to be invited into His presence, especially during this Holy Sabbath day. Aren't you glad that you are here? And we are in His presence, by the way, and He's the King of the whole universe. And we are so thankful that we can sing glory to Him. And we'll sing two songs today, right? And our first song, it was requested from Sri Lanka by Selva Hemachandra. And the song is in hymn number 286, Wonderful Words of Life. We will sing all the first and to third stanzas. One, two, three.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner lifts to the loving call wonderful words of life. Oh, so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Thank you. And by the way, all these songs are being requested, though especially for those of you who are watching online. So those of you who want to ask to sing songs in the future, please go to seccentral.org on our website and then click Contact Us and go to CHS Hymnal Request. Put on your name there and also the hymn number and the hymn title. And we will be glad to be singing it in the future. Our next song is requested by Brittany Richards from Jamaica. Thank you very much for requesting this. 272. Give me the Bible. Oh, yes. The Bible is necessary, the Word of God. It's 272. Give me the Bible.
Give me the Bible, star of gladness gleaming, to cheer the wanderer, lawn and tempest tossed. Though storm can hide that peaceful radiance beaming, since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible, holy message shining, thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and law combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day. Give me the Bible when my heart is broken, when sin and grief have filled my soul with fear. Give me the precious words by Jesus spoken, Hold up faith's lamp to show my Savior near. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day. Give me the Bible, all my steps enlighten. Teach me the danger of these realms below. That lamp of safety o'er the gloom shall brighten. That light alone the path of peace can show. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and law combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day.
Thank you very much for participating in singing, and let us now pray. Invite the holy presence of our Holy Spirit. O God, our Father, once again we thank you, O Lord, that you are with us today, and we thank you for this Sabbath day. We thank you that we are gathered together. We can praise you and sing praises to you. We can learn of you, and we can study your word, O Lord. We thank you that you have given us this privilege. Most especially, we ask your Holy Spirit to be with us now, right now, especially as we study this lesson, a particular lesson that is important in this great controversy that we are facing. I pray that you will make us stand, especially in your word. As the song said, give me the Bible. Bless each one of us right now, and even those who are still on their way, in Jesus' name, amen. By the way, our lesson for today is very interesting, and it will be tackled by yours truly. As usual, I would like to thank you and we welcome you to Central Study Hour. And it is time for us to stand. We have a very interesting topic today, by the way. And for those of you who are watching online, once again, you are privileged to ask for a copy of the presentation today in either in CD or DVD. And email us at csh@saccentral.org or call us or at 916-457-6511 and ask for offer C202419. Make sure you leave your name and, of course, your address so we can mail it to you. Again, the offer is C202419. Okay. We have prayed, and I think there's nothing wrong if we pray again, right? Okay, so let's pray once more. Heavenly Father, this is a topic that you want us to really understand. And so we ask you, Holy Spirit, O Lord, because you said not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. Lord, we want to know what these two witnesses are and what are they for, especially as we face the end crisis, the final conflict, or the great controversy between our Lord and the enemy, Satan. Be with us now, O Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I asked the media to put all the slides there because I'm so visual. I really want, when I first was assigned this topic, I said to myself, oh boy, this is a very difficult topic to explain exegetically, because you know what, the Bible doesn't even mention who these two witnesses are or what these two witnesses are. And all different kinds of theologians, whether it's Adventists or non-Adventists, have different take on who they are or what they are. So I said, yeah, I don't think there's a real theologian who can tell the identity of these two witnesses, except for the fact that we know there are some characteristics that are being mentioned in this particular
in this particular study. And basically, our lesson is focused on chapter 11 of Revelation. Well, our lesson only picks up a few verses there, but actually it starts from chapter verse 3 to 19. And of course, there are some other verses there that are being shared with us. But the focus of our lesson is really on the Word of God, the Bible, the Scripture, the Word of God, right? And we assume that these are the two witnesses, the Old and New Testament. Why as an Adventist do we believe that these are the Old and the New Testament? We will find that out on Sunday's lesson, although not exegetically. And Pastor Mark Finley, who wrote this lesson, graciously said that we cannot be dogmatic about it, okay? But there are intelligent reasons why we do believe these ones. But the focus of our lesson is not really to prove who these two witnesses are. The focus of the lesson is mainly to show how the Word of God stands forever in the midst of the trial, okay? So the role of these two witnesses in the great controversy. That is why our memory text starts with Isaiah 40, verse 8. And Isaiah tells us, the grass withers, the flowers, what? Fades, but the Word of God, what? Stands forever. Isn't it true? Because there is no other book all throughout history that has been maligned, criticized, and banned, and actually burned. And yet, it's still standing. In fact, it's the most prolific, most published book all throughout the world, all throughout history. Why? Something, this book must not be ordinary. Something is in it, right? In fact, those who mentioned that this particular person, a French philosopher, is known to have said that within 100 years of his death, the Bible would disappear from the face of the earth. We don't know how accurate really were those words. Of course, this was of the testimony of those people who were during his time while he was alive. And according to history, Voltaire died in 1722, but the Bible lives on. The irony of the history is that 50 years after Voltaire's death, the Geneva Bible Society moved into his former house and used its printing press to print thousands of Bibles. By the way, that I picked this up, this particular picture from the internet. It is not pretty very accurate because there was no Geneva Bible Society during that time yet. It was actually Evangelical Bible Society or something like that, because the Geneva Bible Society came a little later. But at least the whole history, we know Voltaire was really against the Scripture. Whether he said that, the actual words like that, you can read his writings. He really hated this one. And that is why that one of the things that influenced the French Revolution that we will be studying, we will be going through our lesson, right, today. That was the actual house of Voltaire, by the way, that they used eventually after he died, they used for disseminating Bibles. In fact, it was known that his own printing press printed words of God to be sent throughout the world, okay? So anyway, we know that these two witnesses are the Old and New Testament. We believe that. And we will go to that later. But our lesson, by the way, is asking us to read Revelation. As I told you, the focus of our lesson is all chapter 11 of Revelation. Let's go on to verse 3 and 6. Let's read it. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will, what will happen? What will they do? Prophesy. For how long? 1,000 260 days, and they were prophesied in sackcloth. Clothes in sackcloth, okay? Keep that in mind. And that will be very interesting. These are the two olive trees, okay? So they are called two witnesses. They are called also two olive trees. And the two lampstands standing before the Lord God of the earth. There's one verse actually that in the Old Testament that we are reminded of by those statements. Did you know where that is? Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4. You can read into that. You probably have studied throughout the week. But look into it. But it's, yes, it talks about two olive trees and two lampstands standing before God. These are the two witnesses. So these are the characteristics. Like it also gives us a picture of it being in the sanctuary, right? So as I've said, the focus of our lesson, let's continue. In verse 5, it says, if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. Okay, keep that in mind. Fire proceeds out of their mouth. Okay. And verse 6 says, these have power to shut the heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy, and they have power over waters and to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desired. See, because of that, those terms, many people have surmised that these probably is Moses or Elijah, because it's Moses is the one who turned water into blood. Elijah was the one who shut the heavens. There was no rain, and fire came down from heaven. So they say, so kind of they almost like they're correct, right? Some think that this is Enoch and Elijah, or Elijah and Jeremiah, Peter and Paul, or Stephen and James, or James and John. We were not going through that because that's not our focus of our lesson anyway. But I will tell you why I don't believe that they are the ones, okay, later on. Some other people also, some other theologians, think that these two witnesses are Israel of old and the Christian church. Pretty close, right? I mean, maybe. We'll see. Some say that these two witnesses are the doctrina and sanctitas, the doctrines or the teachings of the Christian church and the holiness or the sanctity or righteousness of God's people. They say if God's people are real righteous, they will be a good witness to the world towards the end. Unfortunately, the reason why I don't believe all of these things are correct is because we are told that what we just read, that these two don't function differently. Unlike Moses and Elijah, like Moses was the one who turned water into blood, and Elijah was the one who caused fire come down to heaven. Not both of them doing the same thing. But what we just read is that these two were doing these things. Right? So they function as one, as united, and then fire comes out of their mouths, so both of them. And you will note, we won't read them right now. You will notice probably it's good to read them, but if you have time, 2 Samuel 22, verse 9, and Jeremiah 5:14 will tell us that the word of God are his witnesses. So, that those two alone, I mean, they testify of God's love. Oh, by the way, author of our lesson have pointed out two verses which are really very necessary to keep in mind. I want you to keep this in mind because you will be confronted by people. Why do you believe that they are Old Testament or New Testament? While we cannot be dogmatic about it, these two witnesses are the Old and New Testament because John 5:39, from Jesus Christ himself's mouth, from his mouth himself, what did he say about when you search the scripture? Because they are they which what? Testify of me. What is testifying? Witnessing, isn't it? So there we go. But Jesus Christ was pointing to what? The Old Testament, of course, right? There were no New Testament there yet. New Testament was not written there yet. So Jesus, the Old Testament was a witness of Jesus Christ, right? Okay, and Matthew 24, verse 14. What does it tell us? And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a what? Witness unto all nations, and then shall the what? End come. You see? This gospel, and where do we find the gospel? Old Testament, New Testament? Well, of course, both, yes. Old Testament, of course, it started from the beginning. But we know actually, though, the fulfillment of the gospel is Jesus Christ himself, right? And all the story was in the New Testament. So we do believe that they are witnesses. And by the way, it's so interesting that word witness comes from the Greek martus. Or martus. The accent is the first syllable. Martus is where we get our English word martyr. And we will find out that the prophecy in Revelation 11 portrays these two witnesses as martyrs. How? We will see. Okay. Now, we go to Monday's lesson. Revelation 11 tells us of two different time periods. The first time period is pointing to verse 3. We read it a while ago, but let's read it again, okay? And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will what? Prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Keep the name of 1,260 days. By the way, on the background of this chapter 11, is if you go back to, I think it starts in chapter 8, 9, and 10. From those chapters, we will see that it talks about how many, the seven trumpets. Oh, six trumpets, right? Chapter 11 is basically part of the sixth trumpet. And then just before chapter 11, we hear the seventh trumpet, the last trumpet. In other words, these two witnesses will be witnessing for Jesus just before the end time, right? And that would be within 1,260 days. By the way, that expression of 1,260 days, as Adventists, you probably all know, but I have talked to many Seventh-day Adventists. They really don't get what's that 1,260 days? You know, I know it's 2,300 days. I know the 76 prophecy, but this one is not so clear to me. So that's why I took pains a little bit, although it was a rush time, to put all these things so that each of us will understand what this is. Now, this is not the only verse in Revelation chapter 11 where we see this time period. It is also expressed in different ways, but they point to the same thing, okay? And we go one verse before that. It says, but leave out the court, which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for how long? 42 months. Now, keep that in mind. I'll put that onto also on the screen later on also. I will not go to the background of verse 1 and 2, but I just wanted to reference that. There's another verse that our lesson is pointing out to, verses on chapter 12, that next chapter after that, okay? And that is, it says, she bore a male child, and you're so familiar with this prophecy, right? Who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared for by God, that they should feed her for how long? 1,260 days. So basically, this woman who fled into the wilderness for 1,260 days is same. It's the same time that these two witnesses will be prophesying. Okay, 1,260 days. And verse 14 tells us, but the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly in the wilderness to her where she was nourished for a time, times, and half a time. Okay, who among you can figure that out? A time, that's times, which is plural, twice, and a half. So in other words, three and a half times. Or years, okay, from the presence of the serpent. Okay, so it's actually, you will notice that it's talking about the same time period. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman that he came it might cause her to be carried away by the flood. Okay, so we got this. We know that these prophecies is about during the time of persecution of God's people, right? The church, the woman represented by the church. It is during the persecution of God's people that these two witnesses will prophesy gold and sackcloth. Okay? So, our lesson also points to us. Daniel, it brings us back to Daniel 7:25. So we go to that and it says, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and laws, then the saints shall be given into his hands. For how long? A time, times, and dividing of time. Did you see that? There are other verses that our lesson didn't touch that talks about time, times, and dividing of time, 1,260 days, and 42 months. Right? They all refer to the same thing. This Daniel chapter 7 points to the little horn persecution of God's people. Right? We all studied that. We all know that, right? So, these 42 months, 1,260 days, a time, times, and dividing of time points to the same time period. Okay? Okay. I want to be very clear so that you can take this home with you, and then if ever you are asked by those who are really wanted to know the scripture, you can explain. Look at this one. This actually the same thing as three and a half times, because 42 months is how many years? It's 1260 also. So 42 months is three and a half years, 1,260 days. Jewish calendar is only 30 days per month, okay? 30 days, not like ours, as we have 28, we have 31, we have 30. This one, so it's 360 exactly for a month, so that this is the whole thing. So time, times, and abiding of time is three and a half times or three and a half years, okay? So it's still equal to 1,260 days. Notice that this is what? These are the two witnesses will prophesy again in sackcloth for three and a half. That's where, do you find that three and a half figure interesting? What reminds you of three and a half? Jesus Christ was what? How long? I'm sorry? How long was he here on earth? 3.5 years. So you see, why I believe that the Word of God are the true witnesses of Jesus. They reflect Jesus Christ too. They're persecuted within 3.5 years. Prophetic years, of course. Jesus Christ was here in this sin-sick world for 3.5 years, literal years, of course. That's his ministry. And these two witnesses will also, towards the end, just before the seventh trumpet, will prophesy, will do their ministry during the time that God's people will be what? Persecuted. So you will see, okay, I'm going to advance. So we know that that time period was the time of the papal supremacy. See the little horn power persecuted God's people. And when did the little horn start arising? When Constantine, of course, gave it the power to him. So that's in 538. And then it ended in 1798 when a French General Berthier took his power away, right? And you count that from 538 to 1798 counts to 1,260 days. And that is why that during that year, when God, when this particular power, the little horn power, persecuting God's people, in fact, they thwarted Scripture, and they don't let Scripture be read and interpreted by common people like us, and thank God that we have the Scripture right now, right? And that's why the Scriptures were had to prophesy in sackcloth, covered up, in mourning. By the way, sackcloth in the Scripture, you will find out that they use it when it comes to mourning. Why? Because those who believe faithfully in the Word of God were persecuted. They didn't have much, chance to proclaim Scripture, and yet they still did. And it is through persecution that the Word of God shines even more. Isn't that so good? And that's the beauty of this Scripture. They can do everything against it, but the more they do things against it, the more people will be conscious. And I said, wait a minute. They're persecuting this. I mean, what's really in that Bible? It even stirs up curiosity among people to really seek what is in there that they are really so mad about, right? And that's why the more persecution, the more the gospel really spread. Although it became through the Middle Ages, we call it Dark Ages, you know. From there, the faithful ones really became more faithful, right? So we have I like to read some lines from our lesson that is that captures basically the point of what he's saying, and that's in Monday's lesson. When the authority of Scripture is neglected, other human authorities arise instead. This often leads to persecution of those who oppose the Word of God, which happened during the time of papal domination from 538 to 1798, when the medieval church descended into deep spiritual darkness, the decrees of men substituted for the commandments of God, and human traditions overshadowed the simplicity of the gospel. You see, during that time, from 538 until the Pope was captured by the French Richard, during that time, the Holy people, God's people, who haven't really been so faithful to the Word of God, and the Christian church goes through into spiritual darkness, that these two witnesses start to be prophesying. Okay? And you see, that is why it is so important to each of us to really stand on the Word of God. We really need to know the Word of God. Why? Because if something else substitutes it, spiritual darkness comes in. But even when you neglect the Scripture or the Word of God will stand forever, right? And what is so interesting also, towards the end of this particular time, of 1260 days, or 1260 literal years, in 1798, Satan, the enemy, was not happy. I mean, he was still not true to it, because he was not really successful in trying to dump in the Word of God. And so what did he do? We see that leads us to Tuesday's lesson. Satan. Let's read the scriptures. Instead of us going through conjecture. From verse 7 to 9, it tells us, when they finished their testimony, that's within 12,600 days, right? The beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit, and who is that? No longer the Pope this time, right? I mean, during that 1,260 days, Satan was using the power of the papacy to suppress God's word. But it was not successful, totally successful, so that it tried, Satan himself, the beast from the bottomless pit, which is Satan himself, right, will make war against these two witnesses, the Bible or the Word of God, and he will overcome them and kill them. Boy, ain't that very interesting? Jesus Christ, actually, the ruling people during his time were trying to suppress him too, right? Especially the religious leaders. It's so sad that sometimes those who you expect to be holding up the scripture are the ones that are suppressing you, right? May it not happen to us. That if each of us will really be founded in the Word of God, we don't have to really rely on who is teaching us. Because they can distort, they can deceive. But if you are founded in the Word of God, in both the Old and New Testament, by the way, not just the New Testament, some Christians says, the Old Testament is gone, right? Nobody can deceive you. And so the world was not totally deceived during the 1260 days. So towards the end of the 1260 days, or 42 months, or 3.5 years, Satan said, let me do a different strategy. What did he say? He will make war against these two witnesses, the Old and the New Testament. And what will happen? Overcome them and kill them. Basically, stop them. 3.5 years. Towards the end of those 3.5 years of our Lord Jesus Christ, what did they do to him? Girl killed him, right? Satan, he could not do it to our Lord Jesus Christ. And as soon as he was ascended to heaven, he started attacking the Word of God, which are the faithful witnesses of Jesus Christ. They are they that testify of him. They are the witness of Jesus Christ. So his attack is not only in the church, but even those who are holding the scripture high. So he tried to attack this. And verse 8 says, and their dead bodies will lie on that great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. By the way, it did not happen in Sodom and Egypt. Remember, Revelation is prophecy, so it's all symbolical, right? We won't go into those things because we don't have time to cover all those things. But this is, and then verse 9 says, then those from the people, tribes, tongue, and nations will see their dead bodies for how long? 3.5 days, and will not allow their bodies to be put in the grave. Is this still talking about the two witnesses? Yes. So this is another time period prophecy in Revelation 11 that tells us about how these two witnesses will be killed, so to speak, or to be put to death, so to speak. Right, of course, symbolically. Right? And it did happen towards the end, because towards the end of the 1260 days, by 1798, another 3.5, but this time it's 3.5 days, prophetic days, which literally is 3.5 years. And when did that happen? Well, you will see. That's why I said it's 3.5. It's kind of very interesting to me. Every time I think of 3.5, it talks about persecution. It talks about really the darkness that Satan brings, especially obscuring the Word of God. See, that's why our lesson is really emphasizing that the Word, how important the Word of God is, and that the Word of God, no matter what you do to it, it will stand. It will last. It will witness. It will prophesy, especially during the time when nobody, everybody will be in hiding. The church. See, this is one reason why I do not believe that the two witnesses are the ancient Israel and the church, because the church itself will be in hiding during those times. Right? They could not prophesy. The Waldenses went into the wilderness. They remained faithful in the Word of God, though. And their faithfulness in the Word of God is spoke loudly. And it spoke powerfully for the supremacy of the Word of God. Isn't it? Wow. So we say, when did that 3.5 days happen? It is during those French Revolution. When the French government actually totally outlawed the scripture in November 26, 1793. And if you count it, the French government restored the using, I mean, the allowing of the scripture to be used in June 1797. Isn't God so wonderful? Now, that's, you count that, of course, it's not exactly 3.5 years, but it's more or less 3.5 years. Yeah, count November to June, that's about 3.5 years. God, when God said it, what happened? I believe it, and that settles it for me. That is why it is so important. I mean, you cannot really do anything against the Word of God. It will prove itself. It will be, that's why they are really faithful witnesses. Right? And it really happened. Although the papal power was taken down, which, by the way, deceived God's people, not only was the Word of God outlawed, all religion was outlawed. By the way, this is also the time of Voltaire, which I mentioned a while ago. You see, Voltaire really hated the scripture. And somehow his influence during the time of the French Revolution was really powerful too, such that the government itself outlawed scripture and outlawed religion. And it is during that time that atheism was prominent. Why? Because to them, reason is all more powerful. Well, by the way, I'm always sad. I shake my head every time someone puts reason above the Word of God. It is true that you and I are given reasons, right? I mean, the power to reason out. Of course, if it's not reasonable, why would you believe it, right? But somehow, not everything can be explained by reasoning. There are things that are not revealed to us, so we cannot explain. But we know they are true because God's Word says so. And some of those people who don't believe, they say, okay, well, no. It was this cult of reason during the French Revolution that really precipitated this 3.5 years of killing or putting to death these two witnesses. Basically, not being able to witness. So, towards the end of the prophesying of the 1260 days, Satan changed his strategy and said, well, no, deception or tweaking the Word of God, or didn't really work that much. So what will I do? I want to just stop it and ban it. And all the more, when you ban it, the more it proliferates, isn't it? Oh, yes, for 3.5 years, they were kind of successful to really suppress the Word of God. But after 3.5 years, just as the Word of God said, the ban, the outlawing was lifted up. And who has that power to really do that? Only God. The one that these two witnesses are testifying about, the one that these two witnesses are witnessing about, God somehow has to intervene, and he said so, because it was foretold in Scripture in Revelation chapter 11. And this happened just before the seventh trumpet, the last trumpet. And this is how the great controversy played through just before the seventh trumpet. I wish that all of us can really be a real good student of prophecy. And we will, do you understand? Since these two prophecies, 1260 days and the 3.5 days are fulfilled, where are we in the time period of this whole great controversy that started from heaven to this day? Where are we now? Where do you think we are? Just towards the end. Seven last trumpet. Now, if you think that these things have happened already, so it will not happen again, you think so? It probably will again. May not necessarily fulfill those times anymore, because they are fulfilled, or they can be fulfilled again. I mean, in those time periods. But they don't, the act of banning the Scripture, I don't know if you are even aware in this country. Have you heard about that news where some anti-Scripture, anti-Christians, brought some whole truckloads of Bibles in front of a Christian church, and they were burning it just recently? And by the way, it happened also during supposedly Easter Sunday, during the time when Christianity was celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was in the news. You missed it? I read it. In fact, I shared it on Facebook. So it can happen. You think we are safe here right now? No. The Word of God can be taken away from you and me, my brethren. But the psalmist says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not," what? "Sin against thee." We can have these two witnesses belong to us if we keep them in our hearts. We don't have to depend on the written Scripture if we have them here. And by the way, if ever you are worried about memorizing them, the Holy Spirit is there to remind you of what you have studied. But if you haven't, what will the Holy Spirit remind you of? Nothing. It's like the Holy Spirit will take through the files and say, "Where's that? What is that text again?" And you cannot come up with it if you haven't really soaked yourself in the Word of God. And that is why it is so important here. Well, we'll go to this event. Wednesday's lesson. The end of that 3.5 days was actually leads us to Wednesday's topic. These two witnesses were resurrected from then. After the government of the French government lifted the ban, some people, men who are so faithful in the Word of God, came up and more eagerly, and our lesson even mentions William Carey. He traveled to India. He translated the Bible into different local dialects, and from there the Scripture went. And after that French Revolution, there was a great awakening. and Christianity flourished again. You see, those two witnesses got resurrected again. Okay, we don't have much time to go over the details of this Wednesday, but anyway, let's read what it says. Revelation 11:11, it tells us to read it, so let's read it. Now, after the 3.5 days, what will happen? The bread of life of God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear on those who saw them. There was great fear of those who saw them. And it's true. Since then, like, wow! And Christianity flourished out of these, because they cannot kill it. They tried to burn it. They tried to burn those who are propagating it in 1260 days. They tried to persecute it, but then when Satan was not successful, he tried to what? Stop it totally, ban it. But eventually, these two witnesses are still resurrected. Boy, isn't that also reflective of our Lord Jesus Christ? Now, one thing that I believe, our own interpretation of those two witnesses are the scripture, the Old and New Testament. Why? Because they truly reflect Jesus Christ. They tried to kill him. He got resurrected. They tried to do the same thing. And by the way, what does John 1:1 tell us about Jesus Christ? In the beginning was the what? Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was what? These two witnesses are the Word of God. Amen. They talk about Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the person Word. While these are written or spoken Word, this is Jesus Christ. And they reflect Jesus Christ too. 3.5. 1260 days is 3.5 years. And also 3.5 days also. Okay, I mean, of course, that's a lot. It's not exegetical, because I really like to be, especially when I study passage in scripture, I really want to be exegetical. But I know we cannot be dogmatic, and I'm glad our lesson says we cannot be dogmatic about it. But it's the closest that we can come up with, and it's true. I mean, there's no other something that's closer than that. These are the Old and the New Testament. We have to be faithful in the Word of God. Towards the end of our lesson on Friday, let me read in closing what Ellen White has said in The Great Controversy, page 288. The infidel Voltaire, I mentioned him a while ago, once boasted, saying, "I am weary of hearing people repeat the 12 men. The 12 men established the Christian religion. I'll prove that one man," it says, "I will prove that one man may suffice to overthrow it. Generations have passed since his death. Millions have joined in the war upon the Bible. But it is so far from being destroyed that where there were 100 in Voltaire's time, there are now, how many? 10,000. Yes, 100,000 copies of the Book of God. In the words of an early reformer concerning the Christian church, the Bible is an anvil that has worn out many hammers." Yes, they can do anything in the Word of God. It cannot be suppressed. In fact, Voltaire's own writings, though very influential during his time, now basically are irrelevant. And yet the Bible has always been relevant since the beginning of Revelation. I mean, God's revelation to of himself to us. Just like our memory text says, it will stand forever. I'm so happy that we had a good time in our lesson. I have so many things else to share with you, but we don't have all that time, actually. But anyway, this is Psalm 118:89. It says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is what? Settled in heaven." Now, Psalm 111:7-8, "The works of his hands are verity and justice, and his precepts are sure, they stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. That's what, well, I think, okay, there are some more verses. This one, by the way, is the final verses that our lesson was talking about. Well, we still have time to read them. It says, then the seventh angel sounded, and there was loud voices in heaven and saying, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of the Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So this, after this happened, the seventh angel sounded, right? And the 24 elders who sat before God on their throne fell on their face and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. Now, what does that talk about? The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they shall be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and shall destroy those who shall destroy the earth. Here's another quote that I like to share with you. Well, that's also in your lesson. On Great Controversy, page 288. Whatever is built upon the authority of men will be what? Overthrown. But that which is founded upon the rock of God's immutable word will stand forever. You feel you are weak, you cannot stand forever? Stand on the one that will what? Stand forever. Be on the rock, the word of God. And you will stand forever as well. That's why you cannot underestimate studying the Word of God. And I'm so thankful to my late dad, who since early childhood, he founded us on the Word of God. And that Word of God is kept in my heart. And I'm so thankful that the Lord is using that today. Well, to those who are here by online, by the way, yours, again, we have free CD or DVD copy of this presentation. You can ask, offer C202419. That's C202419. You can email us at csh@central.org or call us and leave a message at 916-457-6511. Don't forget the offer number and also your name and your address so we can get this to you. Thank you very much for listening.